So, Bershus Rabbi Weinberg, it's a covet and a uncomfortable covet that you're staying, but I appreciate it. So this shiur is sponsored by Eric and Avi Bachman in memory of Moshe Lazar ben Mordechai. That's an LA family all the way here in dreary, cold, freezing, depressing New Jersey. But it's still nice to be here. It's warm. It's warm to be back in this building, which was a big part of my last year and a half. How long were we in the building? A year?
Feels like forever.
Feels like it was terrible, right? feels like a long time. We were here for a long time. We created a Baruch Hashem, a very warm chevra of people who were involved in learning. And one of the biggest zechuyos is to have not only a shir to give, but a chevra to learn together with. And that we've had opportunities to continue that since then. Multiple people in the room that I'm in touch with constantly on WhatsApp. We have a group that we shared the Devar Torah in together. It's really wonderful and special, and it's really a kavod. I'm glad that I was able to make the time to stop by. I thank Corey and Josh for arranging it. It was weird that Josh offered to fly me in just for this, but whatever. Prices are very high, but business must be good. Business must be good. Can't complain. Okay, so we'll learn a couple of svasemzes. I don't have so much to say on the svasemzes in this week's parsha, but there were a few that triggered some thoughts. The first one is extremely short, but as you know, if you've had any time with svasemzes, the terseness, the shortness doesn't imply that there's anything less than brilliance and depth. In fact, it's just the opposite. Usually, the covet of Torah is found in the kitzur. So, in source number one, you have svasemzes in Chayesara, Tuf Reish Lamed Ches, which would be 1877. There, the Sfasemis comments on the following pasuk: V'yitein kol asher lo Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu gave everything that was his to Yitzchak Avinu, to his son. So the Sfasemis explains in a deeper way. Obviously, we assume the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, the pshutos hamikra, is that he was giving his inheritance. He was giving over his Yerusha to Yitzchak kol asher lo. So the Sfasemis here says, al pi hayadua. You can understand this at a deeper level through the knowledge, the common knowledge, that Avram Avinu, Alav Hashalom, Avram Avinu, Lakach Lo Midas Ha'ava, Avram Avinu represented, he gained for himself, he attained for himself the Mida, the attribute of Ahava. He was Ahavram Oavi. He was the ultimate lover of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talked about this in last week's parsha, in Parshas Vayera, because the Psukim talk about Ata Yadati. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know that you're a Yare Elohim. Avram Avinu was Oavi. Avram was the lover of Hashem. What does it mean he was a Yare Elokim? So obviously there's an extra level that Avram had that was Yiras Shemayim as well. But, you know, the thing that really defined him, the midah that was really definitive of Avram Avinu, was the Ahava, was the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Avram Avinu had this midah of Ahava, the Yitzchak midah Sayira. Yitzchak was Pachad Yitzchak. Last week we had the opportunity to quote the Sasemis that just because he was Pachad Yitzchak, just because he was fearful, doesn't mean he wasn't happy. And just the opposite. Yitzchak Avinu is Yitzchak, Tzchok. He was a representative of laughter, of happiness. And we spoke about how the midah of yira is not only not a stira to happiness, but it's actually can produce simcha. Because if a person has yiras Hashem, they don't have any other yiras in the world. They don't have any other fears. They're not worried about anything else. So they can memela be besimcha. And he says, I think he writes, his lashon was from last week. You can look it up in the Sfas Emes. But I think his lashon was, it's very likely, it's very possible, yuchalios, that Yitzchak Avinu was always with a smile on his face. Always with a smile, always happy, always with laughter, because he had Yiras Shemayim, it leads to Simcha. So that's what the Sfas Emes says here. We know Avram was Ahava and Yitzchak was Yira. Okay. Im kol zeh says Sfas Emes. This is what the Pasuk is telling us. Al yidei ha-yira, yachla adam lavo li Ahava. And zeh shekasav, that's what the Pasuk is trying to say. Vayitin es asher lo li Yitzchak. Says the Sfas Emes something important. He says that not only is Yira not a stira to Simcha, as we mentioned a second ago, it's also not a stira to Ahava. We think of Yira and Ahava as two separate relationships with Ribbono Shel Olam. The truth is, they're not only not separate, they're not only not in conflict, they're not a stira one to the other, but in fact, they can work in tandem. And I'll say even more, says the Sfas Emes, She'al Yidei HaYira, actually through Yiras Shemayim, through fearing Kadosh Baruch Hu, through having that awe, that respect of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person can actually come to Yira, can actually come to fear of the Ribbono, to Ahava, to love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Through the Yira, a person can attain Ahava. Now, we'll talk about in a minute, B'li Neder, Mirtz Hashem, how, on some level, I don't ever understand fully what most things in Torah are saying, but certainly Sfas Emes, the deepest levels that he's trying to convey to us. But on one level, I'll try to understand, to my understanding, what he means by this and what the process might be. But I just want to note to you something interesting in the Rambam. If you look in source number one, the second piece over here, the Rambam, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, this is the very beginning of Perek Beis. Here the Rambam is spelling out for us He talks about both, as you would see in Parak Beis Halacha Gimel, the next halacha, which I didn't put here, but he talks about Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Here, listen to these words, very interesting. Hakel ha-nichbad v'hanora hazeh. This, hazeh, is an interesting word, but this, as if he's pointing to the Ribbono Shel Olam, this, kel, this God, ha-nichbad v'hanora. So nichbad, respected, awesome, nichbad. V'nora, what does nora mean? I don't know, art school translate nora as awesome. Awesome. Instills fear, right? Instills awe in someone. Nora, similar shorish to mora, to yira, right? Hakel ha-nichbad v'hanora hazeh, mitzvah, li'ahavel, u'li'yira oso. Shenemar, v'yahavtas Hashem l'kech, v'nemar Hashem l'kech t'yira. So, think we know there are two mitzvahs, ahavas Hashem and yiras Hashem. That's not a chiddush. That's not exciting over here. That's, I mean, it's exciting because the Rambam wrote it, but it's not new to us. We know that there's a mitzvah of ahava and a mitzvah of yira. What's so interesting is that you look in the words, and I didn't really notice this myself. I first noticed this in one of the svarim of Rav Yitzchak Saratsky in the Gvuras Yitzchak. I think he has a sefer. He must have a sefer on Yisodei Torah that I saw this in. I don't remember now, but I this is where I think I first noticed this. The Rambam calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hakel HaNichbad VaHanora. Now, that's also not a chiddush to us. It's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome. He's respected. He instills fear and awe in us. But it's interesting that the Rambam here is talking about the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, and he's using the words of Nichbad VaHanora. We know for sure that he's quoting the Psukim in Parshas Kisavo. If you look in the next piece over here, Lo Sishmor Lasos is called Divrei HaTorah Azos. You have to keep the Torah, and if not, Haksum B'Sefer Hazeh. It won't be good for you if you don't. Says the Pasuk, you have to keep the mitzvahs. Le'yira es Hashem ha-nichbad v'hanora hazeh. Those words. Ha-nichbad v'hanora hazeh. Instead of Hashem, he says akel. But the Rambam's clearly mimicking this Pasuk. What's this Pasuk talking about? Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Hashem. And that makes sense. Nichbad and Nora. So you're scared of a Ribbono Shel Olam who is nichbad v'nora, who is ayom v'nora, who is, you know, fear instilling, who's awesome, who makes you tremble. That's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu you fear. But la'ahavo? The Rambam says, in order to describe the mitzvah of Ahava also, he has to use the terminology of the Pasuk of Yiras Hashem, of Akela Nichbad Vanora. So strange. So if you look in the next halacha in the Rambam, it's not the way the Svasemis says in terms of the order. That's not a problem. The Rambam is not saying that it's the order is Ma'akev. I don't think the Seder is necessarily Ma'akev. The Rambam talks about Ahava leading to Yira. But I think if you think about it a little bit more deeply, we can understand what the Sfas Emes means and maybe what a little bit the Pasuk and the Rambam using the Pasuk is intimating, that the Yira can also lead to the Ahava. Mashal Ma'ada Radoma. Let's say a person meets a big Rebbe, a big Rav. So what's the first feeling they feel? So let's say the first, I wasn't Zochet to be in Rav Shechter Shir. I've spent a lot of years being near him, but I wasn't Zochet to be in Shir. But imagine you go into Rav Shechter Shir. That's just a good example that we all are familiar with. So first day in Shir, it happens to be Rav Shechter is the nicest, warmest, most jovial, funny, exciting person in the whole world. But imagine you didn't know that, okay? You just know that he's the Gedol HaDor. Okay, so you walk into Shir the first day, you sit down, and you're sitting in this person with a white beard, a tremendously huge Talmud Chacham. You can't even touch the toes of understanding what that means that he's such a Talmud Chacham. You've heard all about him. The Shir is, he starts talking, it's a wellspring of Torah, and it's like you're getting hit by a train of Torah, and it's like you don't know if you're supposed to be happy or scared, you don't know what's going on. What's the first feeling you feel? Yira, kavod. Whoa, I'm in the presence of greatness. If a person sits in that shir for long enough, the yira develops, and he realizes more and more, whoa, this person is endless. I mean, his knowledge is so vast, it's not comparable to anything I've seen before. And there's a pacha, there's a yira, like, whoa, I can't believe I'm in the presence of such greatness. And that yira expands. But what also happens in tandem as a person appreciates the greatness of the Rebbe they're sitting in the room with? Suddenly they feel this connection. Not friends necessarily in the sense of I want to high-five him and I want to go have breakfast with him and I want to go, you know, play ball with him. But there's a love, there's a deep connection where a person feels drawn to that person. A person feels like there's a magnetic pull. The yira, the pachad, it's not a stira to that ahava, to that love that you start to feel, that cheshek you start to feel to be around that person. That draw is from the yira. It leads to an ahava, or even it evolves into an ahava. They're not in stira. They're not in contradiction. They work in tandem. And not only that, but the yira can actually bring on, can cause the ahava. Says the Sfas Emes, Vayitin kol asher lo Yitzchak. Says Avram Avinu, Am midas ahava. Your midas yira. But heve yodea, you need to know, Yitzchak, that your pachad, Yitzchak, your yira, will lead to the Avram Ohavi. It will lead to a deep love and affection and just an endless care for and affection for the Ribono Shalom, that Hakel HaNichbad HaNora, the very same one that's awesome and awe-instilling and fear-instilling, is also inspiring, and the person you want and the supreme being that you want to love, that you want to be close to, that you feel a dveikus to, that's what Yira and Ahava are supposed to be. They're supposed to work in tandem, one leading to the other. If a person reads, I can't quote for you each place, but if a person reads the Rav's essay, Uvikashta Misham, this is what it's about. Uvikashta Misham is really what Shir HaShirim is all about. Uvikashta Misham is about this tension of Yira and Ahava, about a person feeling so there's a dread, there's a fear, there's a respect, an ultimate respect for Ribono Shel Olam, but that respect itself makes a person try to come closer. And every time they try to come closer, they realize how far they are and they pull back. And then they realize how much they miss the Ribono Shel Olam and they come closer. And there's this back and forth of Ahava and Yira, but it's not because there's a stira. It's because that love is so strong and that fear is so strong that there's constant growth and development, there's constant deepening of that bond, and the Yira constantly leads to more Ahava in a very different vein. But I think in some ways it's related, at least as a mashal, the Sfas Emes, if you look in the fourth piece in source number one here, the Sfas Emes in Tav Resh Mem Hei, a couple years later, so he explains that a person has two, Jewish people in general, have two bechinos, have two ways, two avenues, two paths to relating to the Ribono Shel Olam, two relationships that we have with the Ribono Shel Olam. We're banim and we're avadim. We're banim, we're avadim. What order does that go in? So the Sfas Emes intimates over here that it goes in the order of eved to ben, meaning a person first has to be a good servant, a good Yarei Hashem, a good person who fulfills the command, who heeds the call of the Ribono Shel Olam. Then, as you deepen that relationship, you get closer, you can become a son, you can become a ben, you could become someone who loves and is beloved. But it says the Sfas Emes, it doesn't end by becoming a ben, by becoming a son. Achein, says the Sfas Emes, in the bold over here. Beis Elu HaMadregos Yesh Bam Kama Bechinos. Even within Ben and Eved, even with that, within that relationship of being a son and being a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even within those avenues, those paths, those relationships, there's multiple levels and multiple layers. There's a deepening of that relationship. Yesh Eved uBen. Achar Kach Zochin L'Malas Eved BaOlam HaElyon Yoser. A person starts as an Eved to Hashem. Suddenly, the Yira leads to Ahava, he deepens the relationship, and he becomes a Ben, he becomes a son. Says Hashem, it doesn't stop there. You've moved up a level. You've beat that level on the game, so to speak. Now you're at the next level, and guess what? You're an Eved again. You're working the Yira again. You're a slave to the Ribono Shel Olam, which is a good thing, because now you have an opportunity to deepen that Yira, to deepen that Avoda, and become a Ben at this higher level, at this higher Olam HaElyon, this next stage of your life. The Achar Kach Ben. V'chein hu tamid, says the Sfas, that's a never-ending journey. A person constantly works to go from Eved to Ben, Eved to Ben, Eved to Ben, Yira to Ahava, Yira to Ahava, back and forth. A person feels not a distance from Ribono Shel Olam like he's not there, but a distance from the fear, from the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that very awe is what draws him back in and helps him become a Ben more and more, and on and on. In source number two, you have the Sfas Emes in Tav Resh Mem Zayin. The Sfas Emes here is something very interesting. Not really, for our purposes, it is textual, but not really for our purposes, going to delve into the textual nature of it. But the pasuk says, "Vayitzi Yitzchak lasuach basadeh," that Yitzchak Avinu went out to shmooze in the field. So what does that mean, shmooze in the field? So lasuach basadeh, Chazal say, "Ein sicha el lashon tefila." That sicha, we spoke about this. No, the last when we had that barbecue, we spoke about the malbim in Tilim. That sicha is a more casual form of talking. Yitzchak was mincha, the middle of your day. We'll talk about that soon. The middle of your day, you're not really going, you're not waking up for shacharis, you're not coming out of the house to go to Maariv. You're in the middle of your work day and you stop to have a mincha. That's a shmooze of the Ribono Shel Olam. It's a casual encounter with Hashem. That's why it's referred to, we suggested, as a sicha by the Torah over here. That's what the Sfas Emes says. Remember this? Better remember it. Ma hafti sara secha kol yom hi sicha si. Why not imra si? Why not, I don't know. Dibrasi? I'm not even sure how to make it, but why not all the Haggadah, all those words are words which connote speaking. So the Malbim in Tilim says, because Sikha is casual. If a person loves Torah so much, they don't need to have a meal and then clap and say, I'd like to say a Dvar Torah. When they're having a meal, they're talking and learning. When you're having breakfast, you're saying over Sfas Emes. If you really love Torah, it's called Yomi Sikha Si. It's casual, it's natural, it's organic. So here, the Torah refers to Mincha by Yitzchak Avinu as La Suach Basada. Okay. So Sfas Emes is a very deep thing over here. If you look in the bold, V'ha'inyan. Again, we're skipping the kind of like the context in terms of why he says this. V'ha'inyan. Who? Ki ein mechuvan hatfila, kishe chaser la'adam eza bakasha. It's not, that's a period or a comma, sorry. It's not that the pshat and tfila and davening is that a person feels they need money. A person feels they need a shidduch. A person feels they need some yeshua. So because of that, they reach out to Hashem and ask for it. That's not what tefillah is. What's tefillah? Really, tefillah is kamosha kasev, rak kamosha kasev, va'anis tefillah silacha Hashem es ratzon. Tefillah is about making an es ratzon. Perish. She'yeh bakashas ha'adam le'orer le'mala es ratzon. The point is that a person is supposed to be beseeching the Ribbono Shel'Olam, asking, requesting from Hashem that it become an es ratzon, it become a time of supplication that he can present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu tefillos, that now is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillos, v'sheyispayis v'sheyisratza abor yisbarach el tachanunim. And then when it becomes an es ratzon, all of those things that you're talking about, all of the tachanunim, all of the tefillos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can accept. Says the Sfasem, is the avos were all about that, creating es ratzon. And they created Es Ratzon for the rest of history. And each one of them created a certain type of Es Ratzon during our day. Paulu kol echad Es miyuchad, lios Es Ratzon letzfila, lios pesuchim shari shemayim begimel zmanim halalu. Each one of them opened a pathway, opened a direct line to the Ribbono Shel Olam through different times of the day. B'chol echad k'fi midaso. Each one was represented, was lishitaso in the sense that it represented his personality. Avram Vino Alav Hashem Ksiv Vayashkem the Isa has Simon LaHavas Hashem Misha Maktim Ahavas Oyizbarach L'Chol Advarim Kmo Shekasav Vayashkem Benimtza Yachel Levno etc. So the Sfasema says Avram Vino was Ahava. Ahava when a person has Zrizus, we know Avram was Vayashkem, Avram Aboker Zrizus. He runs to do something because he does the bidding of the person he loves. Yitzchak Rak B'Yirsa Hashem Kol Yom. Yitzchak Avinu was, as we said before, Mincha, because it's any time of the day. Whenever it's time, once Mincha time comes, any time of the day you could daven Mincha, on the spot in the middle of a busy day, because Yitzchak was the midah of Yira. Yira is something that accompanies a person at every step of the day, so any time is ripe for a Mincha for Yitzchak. Uvechines Yaakov, Yaakov was Marv, because basically Yaakov was a midah of Emes. Emes means Kayam. Emes means that something lasts forever, and we can do things during the day. When it's lahag b'boker chastecha, when it's a nafcha b'leilos, when it's a very trying time, when it's the nighttime, when it's dark, when things aren't so clear, if a person can daven then, reach out to Hashem then, have a time of Es Ratzon then, that's something that has a kiyum. It shows it lasts forever. It's not just in the good times, it's not just in the easy times, but it lasts forever, even at the nighttime. That was Yaakov Avinu creating Maariv. So what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did for us, they opened up three times during the day that we can tap in to the Ribbono Shel Olam's Es Ratzon, and we can create our own little Es Ratzon. We can ask for our bakashas. We can talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu about our issues during those times of day, because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov addressed and created those points in the day, those paths for us to reach out on. I just thought it's so interesting. If you flip to page number 2, I don't fully know what he means, but in the brackets here, the Sfasemis includes, although I'm not sure, always, sometimes the brackets are not him, sometimes the brackets are from... I think maybe from the they say in the Hagdama, maybe the Emir Emes wrote some of the brackets. But here the someone has in the Sfas Emes uveshiftecha beveisecha. He connects each of these tefillos to different parts. Lechcha b'derech is mincha, because you're always on the way. Veshachpucha is obviously ma'ariv at night time when you're going to sleep. But the uvkumecha is obviously shachris when you get up. Says the whoever, someone from Ger, veshiftecha beveisecha. That when you're sitting in your house, it's not the business day. It's not that you're at Shacharis. It's not that you're at Maariv. You're just sitting at home. You have some free time. Who opened up that pathway? Who opened up the pathway that when it's not even a time for tefillah, it's not Shacharis Mincha Maariv, it's not time to go to shul, you can still talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can still have a sicha. You can still have a shmooze with Hashem. You can still ask for things. You can still praise Him. You can still thank Him. You can still cry to Him. Who opened that up for us? It wasn't Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says the Sfas Emes, or whoever, it was David HaMelech with Tehillim. Tehillim is a book a person, a Jew, can open at any point and shed tears or smile or just talk to your Ribbono Shel Olam and connect through Tehillim any time of day. B'shiftecha b'beisecha. Even when a person is just sitting at his house lounging around, he has a few free minutes, there's a way to daven. We have to connect to these different levels of tefillah. We have to find ways during Shacharis to connect to the Midah of Avraham Avinu, to connect the Ahava of Hashem. During Mincha, to connect to the fact that even in the middle of our busy day, we carve out time because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yira is with a Kol Hayom. And Balelos, for sure. Balelos, for sure, we have to have a Maariv. But within that Maariv, we have to think about how it's Laila, how it's something that's scary without the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we need His help, that it's something that's going to last forever, of Yaakov, the Midah of Emes. And we should take opportunities to daven, even in our free time, to reach out to Hashem, to talk to Hashem casually in the Bechina of David HaMelech, through Tehillim, or even through our own language sometimes when the time is ripe for that and we have the ability to do so. And the last Sfas I wanted to mention to you, we'll do it briefly, because I promised we would be about 20 minutes. Source number 3 on the second page over here, the Sfas Emes in Shnas Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph, which is 1870. Usually it lines up. 1870 should be 1871, because it's an Aleph at the end. This is Chayesara, so it's before... the Rosh Hashanah for the non-Jews of that year. So it's still the previous year, but after, you know, in the next few parshals, it'll turn into, Tavshin Lamed Aleph will turn into 1871. This is still 1870. Tavshin Pei Gimel right now is 2022. It'll be 2023 after January. So the Svas Emes here says a beautiful pshat in the Psukim. This, I think, is famous, but maybe not. It's so famous. Usually things are famous if I know them. But here the Svas Emes says, the Pasuk says, Avram Zakin, he was an old man, Baba Yamim. He was, I don't know, the way we would say in English, what, coming along in his days, right? He was getting up there in years. He was old. He was an elderly man. So says, the Svas Emes says obviously something deeper here. Zakin, he was elderly. V'yesh lomar o perish in the third line of the bold. Baba Yamim, what does he mean? He was coming along in his days. Shekol ha'aros shahayalo nishru etzlola olam. Wow. Baba Yamim means he came with his days. Meaning he approached this age that he was at, this old age that he was at. He approached it with all of the previous days. Everything that happened in his life, all of the sparks that ignited during his lifetime, all of the hatzlachas he had, all of the trials he had, all of the nisyonos that he passed, everything that he had, every inspiration he chapped during his lifetime, all of those ha'aros, he took with him, he held onto, and he brought them into his old age. And in fact, the Rabbi Brackets over here says that that's also the pshat in Zakin. Avram was Zakin. What does it mean, Zakin? The Gemara tells us, Chazal say, Zakin is a, what's the word I'm looking for when you combine two words?
Contraction,
yeah. Sorry, I was just sympathizing. It's like, contraction. So it's a contraction of Zakin is Ze Shekana Chachma. Zayin Ze Shekana, Kinyan, acquired Chachma. So Svas Emes says here too, Zakin means Ze Shekana. He was Kona. He acquired everything that happened in his life, meaning he brought it with him. It was his acquisition. It was in his possession all the way till the end. Shederach Kol Adam, the way of the world, the way we are, and this happens to all of us in our own way. We can think about it on our own time. Shederach Kol Adam, Kishemargish Eze Ha'ara. I feel some inspiration. I chape his spilus. I go to an amazing shir. I go to an amazing musar shmooze. I don't know. I get excited. I pick up Daf Yomi. I pick up something in my life that I'm excited. I'm ready to do it. That Ha'ara, that Davar Chadash, Oz Nispael Ma'at. At that moment, the person is, he's excited. He's on fire. He's ready to go. V'achakach, the next day, maybe it's a week later, v'achakach, misyashin etzlo, it becomes old news. Not so excited anymore. V'enu misora de'idia zo'od. That Musar Shmuz, it's not with him so much anymore. At the moment, the speaker was very convincing, very inspiring, very exciting, and I was ready to grow, I was ready to move, I was ready to jump. The next day, I'm already not in the speech anymore. You know, it's already, I've moved on. So we lose those ha'aros, we lose those inspirations. Uve emes tzarecha adam lizkor tamid kol his odros v'ha'aros. A person has to remember every second of his life, every moment of his day, and going forward for the rest of his life, he has to remember all of the excitement, all the inspiration, all of the spilos that he chapped at his lifetime, shahayalo, v'ze b'chlal pentishkach. Amazing. He says this again later, I put it for you on the bottom. The Svas Emes says, this is part of the Isser that the Torah tells us, Raki Sharmel Chal Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od Pentishkach Es Advarim Asher Ro Einecha, that you can't forget. The Gemara, the Torah, is in the context of Matan Torah. Matan Torah, and the question is, what does it mean you can't forget? Rash says it means you can't forget the mitzvos. The Ramban says, what do you mean you can't forget the mitzvos? Obviously you can't forget the mitzvos, you gotta do the mitzvos. The Ramban says, no, Raki Sharmel Chal Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od Pentishkach Es Advarim Asher Ro Einecha. You can't not only forget the content of Torah, but you can't forget either the context of Talmud Torah and of Matan Torah. The experience, the kol zubrakim, everything that happened at Har Sinai, you can never forget those moments. Says Svas Emes, it really works very nicely with the Ramban. That's what the Pasuk is telling us, Raki Shamalcha Pentishkach. Don't forget those moments of inspiration. The kol zubrakim, the lightning moments in your life. When you had Ha'ara, when you had a Hischachos, when you had a Spilus, when you went to a Musar Shmuz, make sure you hold on to that, as he points out in the next piece in the bottom, Sarach Sheyikvu Belibo. A person has to instill that, ingrain it in his heart, and keep it with him forever. And that's what it means. Avram Avinu was Zakein, Kone. He acquired all of the moments of his life. Baba Yamim. He came along into this old age with his entire life, all of the experiences. He never let go, and he brought them along with him all the way until the very end. I saw in a book once, forgive me if I forget the name, but maybe it's called Impossible to Ignore. I think it's called that. It's a very interesting book. I don't think I ever finished it. But a lot of it had to do with business people trying to pitch their businesses to consumers, to audiences. So a lot of it had to do with public speaking and trying to be convincing. So one of the things he pointed out is that audiences are very in tune in the moment. And they have, if you're engaging and you're dynamic, there you have an attention span to hit listen to what you're talking about. But nobody remembers what you're talking about afterwards. Nobody. It's normal. It's human nature. Not because we're forgetful, but because we look at memory the wrong way. This is such a big yesod. We look at memory as something which is recalling the past. Something happened to us. Maybe we kind of file it somewhere in our brain, however that works mechanically, biologically. And then 10 years later, we try to recall that. We try to bring it back up. Really, memory is, prospective. It really works in the opposite direction. It's a future-oriented tool. What do I mean? Meaning when a person learns something, sees something, experiences something, they have to project it onto their future. They have to retain it in a way, not that now, hopefully I'll tap back in later, but they actually plant it into their future so that they can remember. I'll give you an example. I have a list of groceries that I have to get from the store. So Mrs. Richmond says, don't forget plates. So how are you going to remember that? So you write it down. Okay, so she writes down, sorry. So she sends you a list. Plates, orange juice, milk, Dunkin' Donuts, coffee, fine. Chalav shel cream cheese. Okay, so how are you going to remember everything? So there was a list. You say, I'm not going to take a list with me. I'll just, when I get to the store, I'll look back in my memory to see what I saw. So it's very hard to do that. You might remember the chalav yisrael cream cheese because that's the most important thing. But you might not remember the donuts. You might not remember the donuts. But what if you did the following? What if you looked at the list and you envisioned yourself in Dunkin' Donuts and you envision yourself picking out the different things from the shelf? They sell chalav yisrael cream cheese and Dunkin' Donuts? Wow. So you picture, two stops. So it's even harder to remember. So you picture yourself in the store picking things off the shelf. Then you don't take the list with you. You go to the store and all of a sudden, what are you doing right now? You're not trying to recall something in the past. What are you doing? You're living out what you projected into your future. So the way memory is supposed to work really is not that we're supposed to try to leave something in our past and then bring it back up later in life, but it means we're supposed to bring it with us. We're supposed to plant it somewhere in the future, put it to seed somewhere that it'll be recalled automatically, and then the memory will be with us. Not that we have to go back and bring it back, but the memory will actually be with us entirely forever. This is what the Sfas HaEmes is trying to say without, I guess he may also have read Impossible to Ignore, but he's trying to say the same thing, that a person can't create memories that are in the past. It has to be Baba Yamin. It has to be that you bring all those experiences with you. That's the only way you can retain it. That's the only way it can be an acquisition, something you hold onto. The Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Niona says that a lot of times he has the same idea. We hear Mr. Shmuz in Elul, and we're excited to do Tshuva. But unless at that moment you say to yourself, how am I directing this Hispilus, this excitement, this Hischachas? How am I orienting myself al pi with the excitement, with the inspiration? How am I using this inspiration now to change myself in 5 minutes? Unless at that moment you're kovea belibo, as the Sfas HaEmes says here, unless at that moment you put something into your future tangibly as to how you're going to use that inspiration, it dissipates, it dissolves, it fades away. But if a person during moments of inspiration figures out what the Baba Yam is going to be at that point, what Kabbalah am I taking on tomorrow? I'm excited about the Musa Shmuz. How is that going to change my life? Let me write down what I'm going to change tomorrow. I'm excited about Daf Yomi. Let me start tomorrow, not say I'll wait for the next Masechta. If a person is Koveya Belibo, actually instills it actively into their heart, then it won't be a memory. It'll be a living experience that a person can take with them for the rest of their life. So B'siyat Dishmaya, we should use all the messages of Sfas HaEmes to grow in our Avodas Hashem, to first of all, gain a tremendous amount of Yiras Shemayim. Yiras Shemayim, that's awe-instilling, that makes us in some ways tremble, not depressed and not sad, happy, but fearful of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and realize that will lead to a deepening of our relationship, like those Sfas HaEmes told us, like the Rambam intimated to us, and it'll make us banim after avadim, and to realize that's an endless journey of going from Eved to Ben, Eved to Ben, Eved to Ben, on and on. And to use the different times in our day to enhance those relationships. The Ahava in the morning of Avraham Avinu with Shacharis, the Yira in the afternoon of Mincha, the Emunah of Kayim La'ad of Yaakov Avinu at nighttime, the random times for Tefillah of David HaMelech, to use those moments to instill the relationship with Ribbono Shel'olam into our lives. And lastly, the last thing we spoke about, to take all those moments, the Yira, the Ahava, the excitement, the inspiration, all of the Ha'aros that happen throughout our life, and be Baba Yamim. Instill them, put them into our future in a way that we can take them with us. And B'siyat Hashemayim will take them very far with us, live very, very long lives, and have lives of Yiras Shemayim and Ahavas Hashem. Yashikach, thank you so much for having me. It was great to get back together.